Good morning, one and all, and happy Easter. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It is a beautiful day to worship God together, and I thank you all for being present with us on this Easter Sunday. Let us indeed come before the Lord in worship together. Give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel now proclaim, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation.
There is a sound of exultation and victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Those who are righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Storm by the wind.
now invite you to join me in prayer. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Your Son, our Passover Lamb, has taken away the sin of the world. Forgive us and all people. Your Son said, "Peace be with you." Bring your peace to the world and to our country. Your Son appeared to Mary Magdalene when she was weeping. Comfort those who are sad, lonely, or grieving. Your Son met the women and asked them to tell the disciples about his resurrection. Guide us everywhere to witness to the resurrection in our lives. Your Son proclaimed himself to two disciples from the scriptures and made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. Reveal yourself to us and all people through the teaching of your word and the celebration of your holy meal. Your Son strengthened the faith of Thomas by telling him to touch his hands and side. Reassure those who are troubled by doubts and strengthen their faith with your goodness and kindness. Your Son conquered death by his death and won the victory by his resurrection. Be with those who are dying and lead them to life with you forever. Gracious God, grant that all who now celebrate these joyful holy days here on earth may finally praise you forever with all the angels and saints. We ask this through your risen Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. Amen."
Let no one caught in sin remain inside the lie of inward shame, but fix our eyes upon the cross and run to him who showed great love and bled for us. Freely you bled for us. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with him again. Come awake, come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Beneath the scoffer's crown, no burden great can hold you down. In strength you reign, forever let your church proclaim. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death.
But let's take a look at the reason that we get together on the Sunday, and the particular reason that we get together on Easter Sunday, to rehear, to retell the story of Christ's resurrection, of the conquering of death for us all. And so let's take a look at it from Matthew in the 28th chapter, the first 10 verses there. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May the Lord bless us, a very special portion of his holy word. I had a telephone conversation this week with a colleague, a good friend of mine, and we were just talking about our situations, talking about how things are going, how things were shaping up in each of our respective congregations. And right in the middle of that conversation, he says to me, "Starzer, you're obnoxious." That's not the first time I've heard that. It won't be the last time I've heard that. But I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, here I am. I'm telling you everything that I'm worried about in my church. I'm worried about our future. I'm worried about how we're going to make ends meet. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And all you can talk about are the good things that are happening in your church." And I said, "Well, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to come out of this stronger because of what we've gone through." I said, "We're doing some creative stuff. We're using technology that I never thought we would ever use. I never even knew half of this stuff existed. I didn't know what Zoom was. But fortunately, Darren does. So we're in good shape because Darren understands these things that I don't understand." And as he and I went on to talk some more, began to realize that it was just two perspectives of the same situation. While my good friend was living in fear, I had chosen a different road. I choose to look at all of this with hope in my eyes, of looking at the good things that God is bringing out of it, the good things that will help to shape us in the future. So many good things that I have seen happening in the life of this church in these last few weeks. There has been so many signs of love and compassion, ways that people are caring for each other, the spirit and attitude of helpfulness, of desiring to do for each other has just been heartwarming for me. Even though we can't be a congregation gathering in, coming together, we can still be the church. And I have been extremely impressed, extremely touched by the way that all of you have been the church in these times, doing the right things, doing the acts of love, showing compassion, being the church in this time, in this place, among your friends, with your families. And so I've been very impressed with that, and it gives me hope for the future. And as I was thinking about this text, this great story of the resurrection of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who went to the grave, and it's kind of interesting because it says they went to look at it. I'm not sure what that means, because the other Gospels talk about going there to finish preparing the body for its entombment. But nonetheless, they go to the grave and they find themselves in a situation that they didn't imagine would ever happen. They find themselves coming face to face with an angel of the Lord. They find themselves coming face to face, not with wondering how they're going to move the rock, but finding the rock already moved, not finding out how they're going to put the proper perfumes and ointments on the body, but to find that the body is not there at all. Now, their first reaction, and the angel picked up on this, was an absolutely honest reaction. They must have been so scared. They were very, very afraid. And so the first words that the angel speaks to them is, do not be afraid. Now, none of us would question their fear. None of us in the same situation would have had any other kind of reaction than to be afraid. And it's a very natural thing, and it's a very appropriate response to the situation. All of us would have done the same. But as the story progresses and they take off to fulfill their obligation of proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're met along the way by Jesus himself, who greets them and welcomes them. And their response is to throw themselves at his feet and to just hold on to him. And Jesus' word is the same as that of the angel. Do not be afraid. Now, this is a little different situation in my mind. This isn't the same as seeing an angel. This is not the same as coming into a situation where it is all so miraculous that you don't know what's going on. They are clinging to Jesus' feet. They know that they are with one who loves them, cares for them, one whom they have worshiped and adored throughout his ministry. But yet, fear is their response. Why is that? What is it that they are afraid of? What is it that is bringing fear into their hearts? What is it that is causing them to exhibit fear in such a way that Jesus says to them, do not be afraid? I was thinking a lot about that, and I was wondering what in the world was going through their minds. And I wonder if what Jesus realized was that these poor women had been through the ringer, that in those 3 days since Friday, that they had thought that their world was absolutely turned upside down, that they thought that nothing was ever going to be the same, that they thought that everything that they were ever afraid of was coming into fruition. They thought that hopes were dashed. They thought that their dreams would never be fulfilled. They had put their lives into Jesus' hands. They had put all of their hopes and expectations into Jesus' words. And now they saw him being tortured. They saw him being crucified. They saw him die on the cross, and they went to that tomb expecting to anoint the body of one who had devastated their hopes and their dreams. Maybe, just maybe, what they were afraid of was the unknown. What they were afraid of was all of the changes that they had seen in a short period of time. What they were afraid of was that everything that they had dreamed of would never, ever come to fruition. Sound familiar? Does that not sound something like how we are living our lives right now? We had hopes and dreams for Easter Sunday. We had a wonderful sunrise service that we had planned. Darren and I were working on some good things for Holy Week and good things for Easter. We thought that this was going to be the best Easter ever, that we would pack the church out, that the music would be the best music we've ever heard, that maybe possibly even the sermon might be worth listening to. It could happen. But all of those hopes, all of those expectations, all of those things that we as pastors look forward to, and hopefully you as people of this congregation look forward to, came to a screeching halt. And we find ourselves limited to doing a second best kind of thing. Talking to you through a computer, through a screen, a little camera mounted on the top of a computer screen is the means by which we are together. No shaking of hands, no smiling at each other, no greeting each other and asking how each other is doing, no saying to each other happy Easter and sharing stories of what family is in visiting and so on. We can look at what we've lost. We can look ahead and see nothing but fear. But that would put us in the same situation as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary on that first Easter morning. Instead, let us find hope. Let us look forward with hope in our hearts and in our minds. You see, I think that's what Jesus meant when he said to them, "Do not be afraid." He wanted them to make that choice. They could either remain afraid of what was transpiring and what was yet to happen, or now they could look forward with hope and expectation. You see, the scriptures tell us that love cast out all fear. And what is the Easter message if it is not the fact that absolute love has conquered death? And if absolute love can conquer death, then it certainly can conquer our fears. You see, you and I have a choice. In light of the resurrection, we can live in fear, or we can choose the other side and choose to live in hope. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells us that hope is sure and founded well. Because if God can conquer death, if God could raise Jesus from the grave, if God can roll away that stone and bring Jesus to life, is there anything he can't do? God is able to bring good out of every situation. And if we have hope in our hearts, and if we live our lives in hope and expectation, we will see what it is that God is doing to bring good out of this situation. It's good news on this Easter Sunday. Good news that God's absolute love absolutely conquers everything, even the fears in each of our hearts. Absolute love gives us an absolute reason to have hope in each of our hearts and in each of our lives. Let us today, on this Easter Sunday, become a people who are marked by the hope that we have in the living of our lives in these trying days and throughout the days that God gives us ahead. Let us look to see what God is doing, and let us see how God is using us to share his love, his hope in a world that so desperately needs it. Would you pray with me? O God of grace and God of mercy, we're just still amazed these 2,000 years later at the good news of Jesus Christ. That the women went to the tomb to find that tomb empty. That empty tomb gives us hope. Oh, Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with that good news. Fill our lives with that hope that we have, that your perfect love can cast out all the fears that are in our hearts this day, so that we might live as people of hope, sharing your hope in a world that so desperately needs it. We pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He has given us new life and hope.
He has raised Jesus from the dead.
God has claimed us as his own.
He has brought us out of darkness.
He has made us light to the world.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
On this day, you won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave and giving us eternal life.
Glory to you, O Christ.
For us and for our salvation, you overcame death and opened the gate to everlasting life.
Glory to you, O Holy Spirit.
You lead us into the truth.
Glory to you, O Blessed Trinity, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Gonna rise up out of my bed this morning, gonna rise up out of my bed and sing. Gonna run and sing and shout hallelujah for the victory of my King.
Thank you all for everything that you're doing. It's just been wonderful to watch and deeply appreciative of all the ways that you are still serving Christ in your lives and in the way that you reach out to others. I mean, it's just been very heartwarming for Darren and I to hear from many of you and how many of you have reached out to so many others. We're deeply appreciative for you being the church in this time and in this situation. And we do want to thank you again for your faithfulness and in supporting the ministry of Fairfield Church. So many of you have been keeping your pledges and tithes up that we're able to continue and continue with hope and not with fear or worry. And we are deeply, deeply grateful for that, and encourage you to continue to do that, as Darren is pointing out to us. Go online and do that, or mail it into our post office box, or just drop it off at the church. Other than tomorrow, we're here on our regular hours, 9:30 to 2:30, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, we gave Don a day off to celebrate Easter a little bit more fully. And for those of you who are watching on the internet, on Facebook, and belong to other churches, please support your home church, support the congregation that you are a part of, so they can continue their ministry as well. These are challenging times, and we're very impressed with how you're rising to the challenge. We really are. As we conclude today, there's no greater benediction, a benediction, a good word, a wish, a hope, a desire for all the people to have in their hearts. There is no greater hope than these words. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
My friends, go in peace and love and hope, seeing what good things God is doing in our world today. Amen. And thank you all for being here.